Hi and welcome.
Nope.
Decided not to have any fun this week. The other day, I parked my car where there was no puddle.
Okay.
And when I came out later, a puddle had formed.
Oh, no.
And my car was filthy.
Like, but all on one side.
All on one side. Just on the driver's side.
That happened to my truck when we went to Dauphin.
I don't like that.
One whole side of my truck was filthy.
Was it my side?
Yep.
On the inside?
Both.
Yeah. Like, that was a fun road trip.
That was fun.
Do you remember when we stopped at the gas station in Neepawa and I bought a beverage that said, must chew?
No one buys a beverage that has to be chewed willingly.
Well, I did.
And I warned you. I was like, this is nothing about this sounds good.
You were like, this won't be good.
This will not be good.
And you know what? It was not good.
It was not good. Did you finish it? Good.
No, I pitched it. Threw it out or I left
disgusting.
It in your car.
It was wink. No, you did not. It was mango.
I think you know
something?
What? Yeah, it was mango with coconut jelly.
Gross.
And I'll tell you this. I think I threw it out at the same sev I bought it from, but like 12 hours later.
No. You bought it in Neepawa.
Right. And then we went back to the same store in Neepawa on our way home.
Oh, on the way back. That's amazing.
I think we drove around with it for a full day and then I returned it to whence it came.
To whence it came.
Cue the music. Would this be a good time to say, I'm Rebecca?
And I'm Paige.
And this is Made From What's Left?
So today, we are talking about emergencies.
Are we?
Emergent seas.
Is this an ad for a cold medicine?
Emergent.
Oh, seas.
Seas.
And by seas, you mean rivers.
Yes. Well, when they are emerging, they become seas.
When they merge. They emerge and yeah. Then they merge.
When they come out of bed. Which was actually a really funny thing that I read.
That the river comes out of its bed?
The river came out of bed. That's a really weird way to describe flooding.
Don't you remember the Winnie the Pooh, the very blustery day story?
No.
There was a song. And in it, the rain came down, down, down.
Are you going to sing?
In, I think it's like rushing, rising rivulets. But would the rivulets be rising? I don't think so. Maybe I've got that wrong. But.
I'm glad you can have this entire conversation with yourself.
Then somehow the river rushed out of its bed. No.
Yeah.
The river rose out of its bed and rushed right into Piglet's.
See? River came out of bed.
Right into Piglet's bed.
There you go.
Poor Piglet. Do you remember, didn't Winnie the Pooh get a honeypot stuck on his head and then he was floating upside down in the honeypot? See, young Rebecca knows.
I think we've got a no singing policy.
But what about spoken word? Being a fan of Henry Rollins, you cannot tell me not to do spoken
I'll
word.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. When will you start the spoken word?
I did it already.
Oh.
That'll be $300. We're going to talk about floods and rivers, flooding rivers.
Emergencies.
But I wanted to start.
Seas.
I don't know if you can call a river a sea.
Well, if it's big, because
you
it came out.
But
of its
also,
bed.
I think we do refer to a sea later on in this episode.
Okay. Oh,
I'm,
foreshadowing.
I'm thinking into the future.
All right.
I wanted to talk about how we measure water levels in Winnipeg.
Okay.
Because a listener outside of Winnipeg, let's say Iceland, Thailand, any land,
Honduras.
Switzerland?
Yeah. Most recently.
You were going to call it Swissland.
No, I was just trying to make sure
cheese.
It was Switzerland.
Yeah.
The land of the chocolate.
They won't know what we're talking about.
Okay.
When we say that we measure river levels in James. In feet James.
Okay, yeah. That it needs explanation.
So feet James.
Many Winnipeggers won't know.
No, a lot of people aren't going to know.
Yeah.
Bartley Kivas will know.
Oh, yeah. Bartley Kivas will be fact checking you.
He is the authority on river levels in the city.
Shout out to Bartley Kivas.
There is a Twitter account called James Avenue Gage.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, James Avenue Gage. It's run by Jacques Marcoux.
Okay.
And I think it's basically to troll Bartley.
No.
Because of the James Avenue Gage Twitter account is, I am the James Avenue Gage. My mission is to report daily Red River water levels before local human Bartley Kivas does.
For local human. So maybe it's a bot account.
Well, it's run by Jacques Marcoux. And he's a real person, but it could still be a bot because he's clever.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He is behind some of the more notable election maps.
Oh.
In the city of Winnipeg.
And by notable, do you mean tongue firmly in cheek?
Well, like real ones maps? And then also.
Oh, okay.
Also those.
Okay, excellent.
So Feet James refers to the city's main gauge on the Red River.
Not Page.
East of James Avenue. So west of us, south of us, pretty much right across the street from the James Avenue pump house.
Yes.
Located in the river itself.
Yes.
So what the numbers mean, because we'll be referring to Feet James during this episode.
We're not just talking about my husband's feet.
Exactly. And we don't call, it's not Feet Jim. Like we're not
Feet Jim
on that level.
We're not that friendly with the gauge.
We're not very familiar with the gauge. 0 Feet James, which I think there should be a movie called 0 Feet James.
Zero Dark 30, Zero Feet James. I'm into it.
0 Feet James is the baseline winter ice level on the Red River at James Avenue. So this is the baseline for measuring river levels in Winnipeg.
Okay.
The winter ice level. And that goes back when we're going to talk a little bit about the 1800s, and they talk about this like typical winter ice level. 0 Feet James, if anyone's interested, is 727.57 feet above mean sea level.
It's actually quite interesting because most of Winnipeg is around 720. What did you say it was? 727.57. Yeah, most of Winnipeg is around like 740, 750.
Right.
Yeah.
I did bring someone here once from BC, and they were going crazy about the altitude.
The lack thereof?
No, how high it was.
Oh.
Ah, we're like the quarter mile high city. I don't know how many feet are in a mile, obviously. 6.5 feet, James, is what we aim for in the summer.
What is it?
6.5 feet, James.
Okay. That's like a tall fellow named James.
Tall drink of water named James. They regulate that by the St. Andrews locks and dam.
Okay.
So they try to keep it around 6.5 feet, James. So 6.5 feet above that river ice level.
Okay.
8.5 feet, James, is the walkway at the Forks.
So very, very close to...
That puts it 2 feet above the ideal river level.
Okay. Methinks it should be a little more than that.
Well, some summers.
Methinks?
I don't know. I'm a grade 10 boyfriend.
Who am I?
Methinks.
I don't even say that.
It was the way you twirled your mustache when you said it. Creeped me out.
Okay.
Sorry. So some years we don't have a walkway at the Forks.
Yeah.
And those years.
I mean, it's there. It's a Wade way.
Then it would be, you know, that the river level is above 8.5 feet, James.
8.5 feet, James.
15 feet, James, is a minor flood. So the city will start to do some proactive flood mitigation.
Okay.
Maybe closing some drainage gates to prevent the stormwater drains from being inundated with river water.
Okay.
Perhaps. We don't know. 18 feet, James, is a moderate flood.
Mm. Moderate.
Moderate. 20 feet, James, we're going to start sandbagging vulnerable areas of the city.
And those are? Do you have those in your list?
I would say around rivers.
Kingston.
Kingston Row, Kings Park, I don't know.
All the Kings.
20 feet is considered a major flood level.
Okay.
So although James Avenue is the main gauge, there's actually a whole bunch of gauges along the Red and Assiniboine Rivers. They monitor those ones ultrasonically.
What?
So they bounce a signal off the water and measure the distance between the probe and the water level.
Cool.
So kind of like radar.
No, it's ultrasonic.
So if you go back, you can't do this now on Google Street View.
Okay.
But if you go back and look at old pictures of the James Avenue Pump House building, so prior to 2016,
yeah,
there's a tall green box on the southeast corner of the property.
Yes.
That was the river level gauging chamber. So okay. That collected all the data.
Okay.
And I think it sent it to somewhere on McPhillips. There's some sort of monitoring
house
station on McPhillips.
Okay.
I don't know what they do with it now. Technology has improved.
Okay.
So they don't need that tall box anymore.
Mm.
But to honor its significance.
Oh, I think I know.
Right across the street, they put up the interactive.
Interactive.
The interactive display piece.
Cool.
We've talked about it before.
Yes. In our pump house episode.
Yes. We could talk about it again.
Let's do it.
It displays 9 historically significant flood events in Winnipeg and compares them to current water level readings.
Okay.
You mentioned Pattern Interactive. They developed it with HTFC Planning and Design.
Also known as Hilderman, Thomas, Frank, and Cram.
I knew you'd know. I knew you'd know. Heather Cram.
Shout out to Heather Cram.
Another friend from the gym.
And friend of the pod.
Yes. Does she listen? She should be listening now. Hi, Heather. The piece uses motion sensors, web integration, 15 vertical LED displays, cool. And AI
what?
To create a unique and engaging experience for people visiting the site.
I didn't know it uses AI. Does it wave at AI. You when you walk by or anything like that?
It. Every time I've stood in front of it, got very excited and the water levels rose, but I don't know if that was just me.
The water levels rose. Were you crying?
Probably. And not just because I had a freeze-dried Skittle in my throat.
Maybe you were schwitzing?
Do you care to guess where we're at today in terms of our feet, James?
Yes, I would care to guess. Because
should we say what day this is being recorded? April 9th. Tuesday, April 9th.
Day after the eclipse. I think we're below feet, James.
You think we're below 0 feet, James?
Not below zero.
Okay.
I think we're below average.
Okay.
I think we're at, so if feet, James, if average is 6.5.
Yeah.
I think we're around 4.
You're very close. 5.4 feet, James.
Ha!
At James Avenue. 7.3 feet, James, at the south perimeter.
Wow.
It's a good time to tell listener about the Red River, which is also known as the Red River of the North.
Yes.
Because there is a Red River of the South.
Which
we are not talking about.
No. But it is interesting. And if mm-hmm. listener ever wanted to go look.
I would like to do a whole episode on the Red River.
Like all of it?
It's
maybe,
fascinating.
Maybe we do a driving trip from start to finish.
We could. Do you know where it starts?
It's like Mississippi?
No. The confluence of the Bois de Sioux and Otter Trail Rivers in North Dakota, Minnesota. Right on the border.
Oh, you're talking about the north one. I was talking about the south one.
Well, we could do that one too.
I think we do it all.
I think we should do the Pine to Palm Highway.
Yes.
That would be fun.
Yeah, and then we just stay at the Palms.
We just stay where it's warm. Do you know why it flows north?
I'm assuming it's...
Did I mention that it flows north?
Yeah. No. Well, I don't know.
But it does.
It does.
Do you know why?
I'm assuming that it's part of a watershed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing my best Jim Jefferies right now when he pretends to know things.
You're deducing.
Yeah. So
out loud.
It's part of a watershed. And I want to say that it's related to the rotation of the earth.
That's a good guess.
And prevailing winds.
In fact. All rivers flow downhill.
Oh, we're just downhill?
We are downhill. And what more? From the source of the Red River to the Hudson Bay, where this water eventually ends up, is entirely downhill.
Can I just tell you, not all rivers flow downhill, especially those that are in locks.
Okay, but naturally.
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 If given to their own devices, left to their own devices.
From... the confluence of the Red River all the way to the Hudson Bay is downhill. Isn't that weird?
That I couldn't have imagined that.
No. And it's not that we don't have stuff rolling off tables. Like we're not that downhill. In Manitoba, the slope is about 6 inches per mile.
Okay. No, wait. Okay. Overall.
Overall. Yeah. Averages okay. out.
That's very interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Do you want another fun fact?
Yeah.
The Red River flows across the flat lake bed of ancient Lake Agassiz.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You're familiar with
geography.
Do you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Glacial Lake Agassiz, you're familiar with? Do you really?
Yes.
I'm finding this out today.
I have a major in geography. I'm not even kidding.
As a geography expert, you know that this is actually the floodplain.
Right, of course.
Of course, yes. Yeah. And
it's called the Red River Valley.
Yes, but it explains a lot about why it floods.
Yes.
Because in effect, the water is just trying to fill that lake back up.
That's right.
Right? You can concur as an expert.
I'm not an expert. Don't roll your eyes at me.
You went to university. My 2 terms of Spanish do not make me a native speaker.
I'm sure. Still going to university.
Do you want a not so fun fact?
No.
Because the Red River flows from south to north, mm-hmm. warmer to cooler, we would assume, it is especially prone to ice jamming in the spring.
Yep.
As we know.
Yeah.
So we have had our share of floods here in the Red River Valley.
We sure have.
Do you want to talk about some of them?
Let's do it.
Do you want to start with 1950?
I do.
It's not the earliest of our floods, and it's not the biggest of our floods.
It's true.
But some may say it's the most significant.
Really?
Well, yeah. When you start to put all the pieces together.
Okay.
Did you know?
It's the flood of the other century?
Well, yeah.
It's the same century.
It's the same century.
Okay.
Did you know that the 1950 flood was the second largest evacuation in the history of Canada?
No.
Do you want to know what the first largest evacuation was? Do you want to guess what it was? Bigger than the 1950 flood in Winnipeg.
Can you tell me when it happened, this other
1979.
One?
1979. Was it? It was the year you were born. There's no way you would know.
Were people evacuating the city because of my birth?
There was a train derailment in Mississauga.
Oh.
And there were poisonous gases in the air.
Yeah.
And they evacuated 218,000 people.
Wow.
For a week. So I'm assuming that was like the entire population of Mississauga.
Yeah.
Also the first year that Mayor Hazel was the mayor.
That's unfortunate for Mayor Hazel.
Unfortunate for Mayor Hazel.
Yeah.
So in Winnipeg, we're always the runner-up.
You know what? We're the runner-up in a few things in my notes today.
Yeah.
So interesting.
In 1950, during the flood, the Canadian Red Cross coordinated the evacuation of 100,000 people.
That's huge.
At the time, population 345,000.
Oh my goodness, so nearly half.
Or a third.
What?
100,000 people out of 345,000.
I did some very bad math.
You were not a math major.
We should have opened this show by saying that I had some bad math last episode.
You did some bad math?
Yeah.
No, you're not a mathlete.
I'm not.
So can I read from the Red Cross site?
Please do.
Because they put it so eloquently.
Is this going to be a downer?
Well, it might be a little bit. No, I think it's good. The Red Cross set up its emergency headquarters in the Winnipeg Auditorium, which also doubled as an emergency shelter for 3,000 citizens. As the evacuees left their homes, the Red Cross provided emergency aid to more than 20,000 people and directly evacuated 5,500.
Wow.
When families were allowed to return to their homes, the Red Cross provided further aid to another 30,000 people. And the flood taught the Red Cross valuable lessons about disaster response and helped shape the society's plans for future disaster response efforts.
Amazing.
So they learned from the flood.
Well, I hope so.
It was like a big training exercise.
Did they learn not to build in a floodplain, though?
No.
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 No. Also, according to the Red Cross site, volunteers had to paddle canoes to bring hot tea and sandwiches to RCMP officers and military people working the flooded areas.
That could have been the inspiration for a future coin for Canada. But it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Callback.
Sure wasn't. Have you seen any maps of the 1950 flood?
Some.
Can I show you one?
Yeah.
Okay. It's shocking to see how much of the city was underwater. Oh, here I'm going to... I'm going to fold my piece of paper because I don't want you to see more of my fun facts before their time.
Is listener hearing folly? Paper sounds? What?
Yeah. So it's about an eighth of the city.
Wow.
And about 10,500 homes.
Okay, hang on a sec. Where's north here?
Look for the Kildonans. Yeah, always look for the Kildonans.
That's better. This map, unconventionally, has north to the right.
I know. It's weird. It's not...
Oh, wow. So these are, at the time, these would have been a lot of farmland.
Most of the flooding was along the Red River, right? All of St. Vitale and Fort Garry were flooded.
Gone. St. Norbert, gone.
A little bit of Tuxedo.
Probably. Like
a little bit.
Yeah.
Wildwood.
Yes.
Half of Riverview.
Yes.
St. Boniface, and it looks like it's east of the Seine River.
It is, because there's this island.
Right.
This inexplicable island.
All of Point Douglas.
Yeah.
Parts of East and West Kildonan.
Most of Point Douglas.
Most of Point Douglas. Parts of East and West Kildonan.
I think my office would be gone.
A little bit of Old Kildonan.
Yeah, there's a funny little offshoot. What is that? What is this? This must be river influence.
There must be something there because it's oddly flooded.
Yeah.
And then there was some significant flooding along the Assiniboine River until about St. James-ish. Apparently only one of seven bridges was open. Because the water was so high.
Is that what all these circles on this map are? Bridges that are out?
Let's see.
There's little circles.
Show me some circles.
Do you see them? They're little. But they're...
Oh, maybe.
I'm assuming at bridges.
Maybe. It's an old map. So the map...
River Heights.
River Heights is a
notably high. It's right there in the name.
So it also shows some of the flood protection that was happening in the city.
Yeah.
And you have noted the islands... that were created.
Yeah.
So it looks like a ring of protection around, keep the map.
Okay.
Around all of Norwood.
Keep the map. Little child, keep the map.
Keep the map. All of Norwood and most of St. Boniface. Oh, old St. Boniface.
Old St. Boniface.
Would you concur?
Well protected.
It also, if you look way down in St. Vitale, there's a little circle of unflooded land.
Yeah.
That is a dike that was built around the old St. Boniface Sanatorium.
Oh, goodness.
So not in St. Boniface, in St. Vitale.
Yeah.
And listeners might know that as St. Amant Center.
Okay.
Would you like a fun fact?
Please.
The St. Boniface Sanatorium was designed by our friend of the pod, J.M. Simmons, of Portage and Main Bank of Montreal fame. Callback to the last episode.
That's a good recent callback, too.
Do we like that?
Yeah.
The King George Isolation Hospital was not so lucky. And it had to be evacuated, including one patient who was in an iron lung.
Oh, no.
They put him on a truck in his iron lung.
With how did they keep the iron lung going?
I don't know. Just manually?
Portable. No.
I don't know if there's a way.
Wow.
And the King George Isolation Hospital, no longer here, no longer with us.
Transcended the physical.
Probably also the gentleman in the iron lung, longer with us. Ooh. But it was... torn down to build the Riverview Health Center.
Okay.
So I think it's on Morley. I want to say Morley.
Yep. Ish.
We are going to share some stills from the flood, as well as links to some really interesting newsreels on our socials at Made From Pod. The videos are so cool. They're from England, and they're totally worth watching because it's in a very like old-timey English newsreely voice. But one of them, I think the last one, includes... footage of a house that washed up against one of the bridges.
Oh, no.
And had to be dynamited.
The house did?
The house did. I can't tell what bridge it is, so maybe a listener will write in.
Okay.
We'll write in. So I have three YouTube links that I'm going to share.
Okay.
With listener. So it was kind of the beginning of the flood, the middle of the flood, and then the end of the flood.
And it's all like, that's just in.
But in a British accent.
Okay, and I can't do that.
And very much like, we need to help the people of Winnipeg. Because when we were in need, they helped us with food and money.
Huh.
So kind of cool.
That's like pay it forward and all that.
And they're from British Pathé. And I even went so far to see if we could play them on the pod. And we cannot. Because they maintain the rights to all of their materials.
No. Okay. Dang.
I know. Did you have people in Winnipeg in 1950?
Yeah.
You know where they would have been?
Kildonans.
If they were flood affected.
They would be in the dreaded Kildonans, as my people affectionately referred to them.
Has anyone from the family shared any anecdotes of being in the flood?
No.
No, me neither.
I think the flood doesn't stand out as much in those kinds of stories as much as the Depression.
Right. That makes sense. My people were in the West End, like around Banning Street.
Okay. Yeah. So they fared well.
They probably fared okay.
As long as they're far enough west.
And as long as they didn't have to go anywhere.
Yes.
As long as you didn't have to.
Or do anything or buy anything or.
Be anywhere near the rivers.
Yeah.
When we moved to Winnipeg in 1975-ish, we bought a house in Old St. Vital that had been flooded.
Okay. Yeah. Gone.
It was still there.
No, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, in some areas, I think it was in low-lying areas, the floodwaters were as high as 15 feet.
Yeah, that would be over your eave of your house.
Yeah. So we had a two-story house, one-and-a-half-story house, two-story.
Okay.
And it had been flooded.
Yeah.
And when we went to insulate the attic, we went up into the attic space, and there was a box of stuff that the homeowners had put up there in 1950 right before being evacuated.
I have shivers. What was in it?
I can't remember all the things.
Okay.
But this is how I got my 1950 phone book.
You're kidding. My Winnipeg
phone book. So I guess they took things that they thought they would need when they...
Important special things.
Important special things that they would need when they came back into the house, not knowing...
Not the things you take because they're irreplaceable. Not the family photos.
Yeah.
But all the things you're going to need that can't get wet.
And you're not going to get rid of your 1950 phone book.
No, that's your super connection important to the world. Yeah. What else? Do you remember what else was in there?
I don't. I should ask my mom.
Do.
I'll text her. I don't want to start that conversation.
That's fantastic.
I know. So the 1950 flood was one of the greatest natural disasters in Canadian history. And the most catastrophic event ever seen in Canada to that date.
Why does that make you laugh?
I'm not. I'm just saying, like, what a point of pride for the city to come out of that. Well, so that's in terms of the extent of the flood damage, the number of persons that were displaced, and the financial impact.
Okay.
But that flood wasn't actually the biggest in our province's recorded history.
Okay.
So I have three floods to tell you about. These will go back a little bit before your time.
Okay.
May 1826.
1826?
May of 1826, flood waters rose to a height of 36.5 feet above winter ice levels.
So 36.5 feet, James?
Exactly.
36.5. So 30 feet over... average, because James is 6.5.
Yeah.
30 feet over average.
And we think a major flood is when it hits, what, 24?
And we have, do we have like any sort of hand-drawn maps about what that kind of an impact would be in the area?
Have to take a look.
Wow.
It covered the site of the future city of Winnipeg in up to 15 feet of water. So the whole thing, like there was... Not much gone here.
Nothing.
It wouldn't have.
Well, everything was here. Just not things with names that are English.
And what they would have built here would not have survived 15 feet of water.
No, but also maybe they'd be a little more portable.
Yes. At its crest, it created a 40-kilometer wide lake covering 2,300 square kilometers of southern Manitoba.
This is the slight problem with a prairie. Right? Like, if you put
a flat prairie on a slight downhill incline.
If you put a prairie underwater, you put all of it underwater.
Mm-hmm. And like Manitoba prairie soils, that gumbo soil, they're not that great for
absorption.
Yes. Dispersion.
Yikes.
1852, floodwaters rose to 34.5 feet at the Winnipeg site.
How do they know this? They must have some stratification or something.
There was some sort of survey document that they reference.
Okay.
1861, floodwaters rose within 2 feet of the 1852 flood levels. So 32.5 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
But 1950 would have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
So to speak. Because now they had a city and a few hundred thousand people that they had to protect.
When?
Well, this was like not until 1950 did they think about doing anything about it.
But what was the one right before that?
1861.
61. So this is not very long before people actually began to colonize this area.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, we should mention that there were people here.
There were people here. So colonization starts in earnest. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably before that, but like, you know, a lot of gathering starts happening. So then... No one thought to say, like, hey, what happens here every 50-odd years?
No, and it's pretty, like, it's a cycle of it's floods. It's
definitely a cycle.
Yeah, and no, it's fine. Just put your city right there. It's good.
Low schmo. Wow.
So in July of 1950, which is about a month after things actually were completely opened up after the flood, because it took them until about June to clean up all that mess.
Wow.
The province established the, don't make a face, the Greater Winnipeg Diking Board.
I'm not making a face.
All right. To construct 50 kilometers of elevated boulevard dikes along the rivers within the city and 22 pumping stations.
I would like to ask a question.
What are the elevated by dikes?
Yeah, I mean, like we're...
I'm thinking like Churchill Drive would be an example.
We're
sitting
we're on the river. Yeah. Where is the dike between me and this river?
Well.
No, it's more like around the city, right? Like around.
There's a perimeter dike.
Yeah.
But then within the city along the rivers is an elevated diking system.
Just not this one.
Maybe not this one. But I'm thinking like Churchill Drive would be a good example.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a dike.
Yeah, that makes sense. And really, we are actually quite a ways up from the river levels.
What is your office in feet, James? We'll have to find out.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to. We'll have to
figure that out.
Okay.
So also, around that time, the idea for the floodway was born.
Hey, can I tell you a fun fact?
Yeah. Sure.
Did I, when on one of our recent walking tours, did I show you a known point of elevation?
No.
Okay, so throughout the city,
mm-hmm.
they're very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
There are known points of elevation, and it's a little plate in the sidewalk.
You did? Where was it?
Well, they're all over. I don't know which one I showed you.
Was it the time we were going to that Starbucks on Portage Avenue?
No.
Oh.
What? No, I feel like it was in the Exchange.
Okay.
Or in the East Exchange.
Okay.
But it's a little metal plate with a crosshair in the middle.
Okay.
And then the actual elevation above sea level. And these are sprinkled all through the city. And they're very unassuming, but you should look for them.
We should have a scavenger hunt.
We should.
This summer.
Should look for them. We should look for the closest one to this office and then we'll know what our feet James is.
James's feet?
Anyway, sorry. Tell me about the floodway.
The floodway is a 47 kilometer long channel that runs south to north through the southeastern part of Winnipeg and also through Richet.
Okay, so that's a really good question.
Yes.
So I was trying to figure out what the pronunciation was.
Richet.
I heard Richet and I heard Richet.
I think it'd be either in Winnipeg.
I think the French word is Richet.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people call it Richet.
It also runs through Springfield.
Pronounced Springfield.
East St. Paul.
Yeah.
And St. Clements. Or is it St. Clements? We don't know.
Clements.
So it works by taking part of the Red River's flow.
It's Clements.
Is it Clements?
It's St. Clements.
St. Clements. Okay.
Yeah. This is like... family of my...
She's having a stroke.
No, this is like my... This is my...
Your people.
The people I've married into.
Oh, those people. Yeah. The Jameses.
Yeah. The Jameses.
The Jameses. So it takes part of the flow of the Red River.
Yeah.
And it diverts it past the city of Winnipeg.
Yes.
And then it discharges it, gross word.
Past to the east.
Below the dam at Lockport.
Yes.
So now, at current levels... it can carry flood water at a rate of up to 140,000 cubic feet per second.
And what even is that? How do you quantify that?
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's moist.
So since its completion in 1968, and remember this number, the floodway has prevented between $40 and $100 billion in cumulative flood damage.
I don't know how you can quantify that, because I have a long list of unhinged people writing into the Free Press to tell you about in 1960 who were not interested in this ditch.
This is why you should remember that since 1968, we're going estimated up to $100
billion. $1 billion with a B?
$100 billion dollars it has prevented.
Okay, I wrote it.
Cumulative flood damage.
Okay. 1 billion.
In 2000, the floodway was designated a National Historic Site of Canada.
No, it was not, right?
Because of its outstanding engineering achievement in both in terms of function and impact.
Hang on a second.
A National Historic Site.
So I've done a little digging. And one of the biggest fights, I hope this is, I'm not stealing your thunder here, but one of the biggest fights about getting this ditch was getting the feds to help pay.
I know.
Or are you headed there?
I'm headed there.
All right, I'm sorry.
Former Premier Duff Roblin and friend of the pod. Yes. He championed the project.
I really like his line of clothing, Stuff by Duff.
Stuff by Duff. And his Roblin's Donuts. Probably his greatest achievement.
I'm dying. Okay. Yes.
Moment of silence for former Premier Duff Roblin and friend of the pod.
Yeah. He was a conservative.
He was the champion of the project, died in 2010,
okay.
But he would have been around to see it declared a National Historic Site.
Oh, good.
So that's good.
Yeah.
I like
In fact,
that.
I think I have an article. 2010, you say?
2010. He passed in 2010.
Oh, okay. But when was it designated? Do you know?
2000.
Oh, that's recent.
Yeah.
He was also honored. Are you going to talk about that?
No, you can.
He was also honored for the floodway in 1979.
As he should be. Do you want me to tell you a little bit more about how this came to be?
Yeah.
So he proposed the floodway in response to the 1950 flood while he was still leader of the opposition party.
Right.
So quite fittingly, there was much opposition to the project.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if he proposed it, but he championed it.
Yeah.
Because there were studies and reports and recommendations done. He was like, let's get on this. There was much opposition.
Who do you think, or did you discover in your notes, whose brainchild this was?
There was actually like a royal commission done to like a federal thing and to study flood abatement.
Right.
And there were different recommendations made. The floodway was one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The portage diversion was one thing. And then there was, I think, something happening around St. Agathe that they were like, no.
Oh.
Like they were going to create some sort of basin or something in that area.
They still should.
Well. Well. We'll talk about that later.
All right.
So this is from Manitoba Historical Society.
Okay.
Because I, again, love the language and I couldn't do better myself. It was vehemently denounced by opponents as a monumental and potentially ruinous waste of money. Indeed, the projected Red River floodway was referred to as Duff's Folly and Duff's Ditch and decried as approximating the building of the pyramids of Egypt in terms of usefulness.
Well, that's hyperbole.
The construction of the floodway and Assiniboine River Works would entail a capital cost of over $72 million, amortized over 50 years at 4% interest at a time when the province had a population of only 900,000 and an annual net provincial revenue of $74 million.
I mean, I don't really know how to compare those numbers, but I'm assuming what you're saying is not enough people to spend that much money on.
I also don't think the population of the province was at 900,000 because I think it is now. It's at that now,
no,
is it not?
City is. Province
Oh,
is
the province. More. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. So provincial revenue was about $74 million. The project was going to cost about that.
Okay.
But now, $100 billion in savings? It's a great deal. So dramatic pause.
That's called an ROI.
I need a dramatic pause.
Okay.
In June 1958, Duff Roblin, the newly elected Premier of Manitoba.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He continued to promote the floodway and managed to secure a commitment from the federal government of Prime Minister John Diefenbaker to pay up to 60% of the construction costs.
Okay. Pretty good.
Construction started 1962, November of 1962, and finished in March of 1968.
6 years.
So he got
Is that math?
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Do you want some fun facts about this project?
Yeah.
More earth was excavated for the floodway than for the Suez Canal.
I read that.
76.5 million cubic meters, or for our American listener, 2.7 billion cubic feet.
Freedom units.
At the time, the project was the second largest earth-moving project in the world, next only to the construction of the Panama Canal.
That's where we come in number two.
Again, runner-up. The total cost at the time ended up being $63 million, which is equivalent to $505 million today.
Which, I'm thinking, there was an upgrade, right?
There has been an upgrade.
You're getting to it.
I am getting to
it. But
that.
The upgrade, so I feel like that $505 million might even be a little low.
Okay.
COVID pricing and all.
COVID pricing. Like you're saying that the total in 1968 dollars was $63 million if we added on to that and then factored in what it would be worth today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit more.
A little more than that. So like, what's a cool $600 million between friends? Right? And their ditches.
Between Duff and Diefenbaker. Duff and Diefenbaker. That sounds like a cool cop show. Diefenbaker and Duff sounds like a deli. Did you have some tidbits you wanted to share about the floodway?
I don't know. Do I? I have, I have a couple things.
Do you have what people are saying about the floodway?
I do.
Are these old cantankerous people that may no longer be with us?
No.
Oh.
The floodway has a 5 out of 5 star rating.
What? Like currently?
Currently.
This isn't like historic floodway news? Okay.
This is a 5 out of 5. It's not even on this page.
Can I say one thing about the current floodway?
Do it.
The south end of the floodway has an absolutely fantastic interpretive center.
Really?
Like an outdoor elevated thing that you can go.
What?
You can watch the water going through the floodway and you can learn about Premier Rob Lynn and you can learn about the Red River Valley
and the floods.
I've done it. I need to go back and take pictures.
We should go.
But it's absolutely fantastic. I went there on a day that was really, really briskly windy.
Ah, yes. Okay, well, that would make it less fun. But that's almost like most days in Winnipeg.
But for South Winnipeggers, who are now no longer underwater, highly recommend checking it out.
So what people are saying for the Red River Floodway.
Yes.
5 out of 5 stars from Devon.
Devon.
'Twas moist.
Devin, calm down.
Devin, you're in public. 5 out of 5 stars from Downey. Would recommend.
You know what? I have no qualms. There is some water in the floodway right now. Just a little bit.
Just a trickle.
Just a trickle.
We have got a couple of other little fun facts for you.
I did notice that Omens Creek was running pretty fast the other day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you know that the Seine River goes under the floodway?
That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
This came straight from Murray Wilson.
That's more like the Insane River.
So the Seine River was diverted to flow to an inlet structure. Some of the river water is directed into the floodway, while the remaining water flows underground in a pipe under the floodway to an outlet structure to reconnect with the river on the other side of the floodway. And you can go see this. It's a little bit west of where the floodway meets Highway 59 south on the south perimeter or south end of town.
It's like a little corridor
underneath the floodway.
It's a channel.
It's not a channel, because a channel is a tunnel
under a channel.
This is a river under a river. A runder?
Well, would you say that the floodway is not a channel of sorts?
I mean, it's like a river. It's a ditch. It's a river under a ditch.
It's a dunnel?
It's rich.
A dunnel?
Anyway, it's a thing.
Okay.
And that's a pretty cool fun fact.
That is one of our funnest facts so far.
And then this whole notion of close the floodway, right? This is something that you've heard probably your entire life. So I read, and I actually wanted to do a little bit of, I wanted to understand how the floodway works. Mm-hmm. And so I did find a cool diagram, which I'm going to show you in a second.
Okay.
But I just want to read you this first.
It being a visual medium, I'll have to explain to the listener what we're looking at.
You can, though. You can. Actually, no, I'll hand this to you.
Okay.
And then you're going to listen.
Ooh, it's in color.
It's in full color.
Oh, wait. Mine was in color, too.
Okay.
But mine was in, like, 1950s color.
Yours is in two color. Oh. Mine's in full color. Okay. So there's a walkway. This is a little bit repetitive.
Okay.
There's a walkway along the river at the Forks in downtown Winnipeg. The city likes to have the walkway open in the summer, especially for Canada Day. When the heavy rains come and the river rises, the walkway is quickly inundated. It was built too low. Open the floodway, comes the cry. The floodway is always open. There are no gates. It's especially wrong for government to legislate and institutionalize this harm.
I mean, I would say that this situation predates the walkway at the Forks.
Yeah, it does. But so the point being, there are no gates.
Yeah.
It's actually the floor of the floodway that rises, creating a dam. Do you see it in that diagram? I see that. So that whole wedge rises.
Yeah.
So what was floor becomes virtually wall
of a dam. Amazing. This is why it has won a designation for being an engineering marvel. It's one of the 9th wonders of Manitoba.
It is, actually. It wasn't even in that list. Just, we're going to revise
it. Should be.
List.
I think we should. Floodway, number one.
Yes.
The toilet at the bridge over there, number two.
The toilet on the bridge. Okay.
Listener from elsewhere is going to wonder why there's a toilet on the bridge. Just listen to our Salisbury House episode.
That's right.
Just go back in time.
Or just come and use the toilet on the bridge. Okay. So then apart from that, I just have some really excellent letters to the editor. Do you want to hear them?
About the floodway?
Yeah.
Can we hear from some people that were opposed?
They're all opposed.
Okay. Well, then let's hear from them.
All opposed.
Because present day Winnipeggers. 5 out of 5 stars.
Pretty in favor, yeah. You know what I noticed in 1960? A lot of times the letter to the editor starts with, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
That is proper business correspondence.
In 1960.
Not if you're talking about Frank Lloyd Wright's business correspondence, because that was unhinged.
Very different. Okay, so this is the other thing too is the editor of the Free Press, I believe it's, you know, somebody over at the Free Press, is actually giving each one of these articles or each one of these letters a little title.
Okay.
And I think they're making the title themselves. Like,
yeah.
I think the free, yeah. Like, I don't, yeah, think, I think the, I don't think the writer.
No.
Is calling.
No, it's not like a review on Sephora.
No. Okay. No. So the title of this is Dear Ditch. Sir.
Okay. Wait. Is that like? It's a deer ditch, or like it's an open letter to the ditch.
I think it's a letter to the ditch, okay. But maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
Since 1950, there has developed an attitude of mind that regardless of cost, there must be never another flood in Winnipeg, which indicates a rather clouded intellect on economics.
I don't think that they were trying to prevent floods entirely, sir.
I also think this is well written. Mm-hmm. Winnipeg has had one serious flood since it became a city, for which we were entirely unprepared. Today we have dikes and sewage plumbing stations, which will protect us on floods up to 1950 proportions.
Mm,
and these can be added to and strengthened if necessary.
Call in the military, sir.
Sir. During the 1950 flood, we collected $10 million and all damage was taken care of. In fact, some properties were improved and we had $2 million left over.
What a windfall.
The information given to the public is that Mr. Roblin has succumbed to the arm twisting of the press and some other organizations to spend $60 million to cut a channel from below St. Norbert to the St. Andrew's Locks, a distance of 30 miles. The diversion of natural streams is a serious matter and leads to trouble, some foreseen, some not. But here are some of the problems we face.
Well, so far, I would say in terms of accuracy, this guy has corroborated our entire story. So you may continue.
We have to maintain the ditch will be expensive. We all have to build bridges to connect. We have to build bridges to connect all the roads. We have to maintain these bridges. We are going to dislocate a lot of farmers. We are going to destroy a lot of valuable farmland and market gardens. We may flood farms, which are now immune. We will drain the subsoil moisture from thousands of acres and leave ourselves liable for damage. We are creating unnatural hazards and we'll encourage all kinds of claims.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong. Should it be built? Yes, but he's not wrong.
Mr. Roblin is taking Mr. Diefenbaker for a ride as the project in years to come will be known as Roblin's Folly. If I were the head of the federal government, I would not contribute a dollar to this scheme.
Never mind 60%.
That's Mr. F.H. Hancock.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And he wore his monocle while he wrote that entire thing.
He had his feather quill.
F.H. Hancock shakes fist at sky.
Okay. I thought this was cute.
Uh-huh.
This was a tiny little piece found at the bottom of a page.
Okay.
In 1968, was it, that it mm-hmm. opened? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And this is titled just Floodway.
This is Floodway. This isn't a letter to the editor.
Is this a poem?
No.
Okay.
On Sunday night, the Red River Floodway went into operation for the first time.
Hang on. That is the tiniest little snippet of an article.
And it literally, you know what the size of a newspaper is.
Yes. We're measuring in column inches here.
Yeah, and there may be three.
Yeah.
Conservatively three.
Okay.
Right? 3 inches.
We're talking about James' feet in column inches.
3 James inches. Of column. On Sunday night, the Red River floodway went into operation for the first time, with some of the flow down the river being diverted into the big ditch. The big ditch. This is the floodway's first test.
Poor thing being called the ditch.
Well, I actually think ditch is appropriate.
Okay.
Right? This is the floodway's first test. It's also the first year in many that residents of Greater Winnipeg have not looked forward to spring with some anxiety.
That's true.
Still sharp in memory is the flood of 1966 when the river water came up to the top of the 26.5-foot dikes which had to be raised to 30 feet as a safety measure. Because of the floodway, it is anticipated that the river this year will in effect crest at about 20 feet instead of reaching and perhaps surpassing 1966 levels. If the floodway works as the designers and builders claim, residents of Greater Winnipeg will join in agreeing that the cost, as it was money well spent.
Well, that's cute. I would have thought like it would have been a front page story with a splashy headline.
Well, I'm shocked actually. So I could have missed something around this time, But this was it.
That seems pretty complete.
And really, if you think about it news-wise, there's not like a lot of flair here.
I mean, it was 6 years in the building.
Scandal gets front page.
18 years in the planning.
Put a little water in a ditch. You get the bottom of page 26 or whatever this is.
It's like Charleswood East over there. It's a big ditch.
It's a big ditch. Charleswood East. So welcome to the world, Floodway.
Well, welcome to the world, Floodway. That Floodway sure came in handy in 1997.
Sure did.
So as I mentioned, it wasn't just Winnipeg. They got hit hard. North Dakota got 60 centimeters of snow from the same storm, and they already had tons of snow.
Uh-oh.
I took a look at the total snowfall for the winter of 96-97 in Fargo, and it was around 3 meters.
Wow.
3 meters. And that's their average
10
is
10 feet.
Yeah. Their average is just over a meter, like about 1.2 meters.
That's the distance between you and your socially distanced friend.
Exactly.
Wow.
There was very little mid-season thawing.
Okay.
So everything that fell over the winter was still there in April.
Yeah.
It warmed up a little bit before the big blizzard. I think everyone remembers it being like, oh, is this spring?
No.
It was not spring.
Fake spring.
in the fall, the previous fall, they had a really high rainfall.
So the ground was saturated.
So the ground was saturated and then it froze.
Oh, yeah.
So you're thinking that you've got like soggy ground.
Yeah.
Frozen. And then 3 meters of snow. Why is that important?
Late in, and late in the year.
Very late in the year. So cold temperatures around the time of the blizzard delayed melting. So it was about minus 13 for about the week after the blizzard. 10 days after the blizzard, it was plus 14.
So that's a 30-degree swing in temperature.
Yeah. From 10 days, we're frozen, we're in a deep freeze, to, okay, flip-flops.
Plus 15.
Yeah.
Shorts, tank tops.
Yeah.
Crocs, if you have to.
Well, at that time, did we have Crocs? Had they invented a Croc?
There were no Crocs.
There were no Crocs. So all of the rivers and streams filled up to record levels. And there was nowhere for the overland water to go.
Oh, no, there was a place.
Well.
Over the land.
Over the land. The Red River Basin crested on April 18th in Fargo, 4 days later in Grand Forks, and then at the border on April 26th.
Rude. Why didn't they just keep it in the U.S.?
Right? So we knew that it was coming because, as we said, Red River flows south to north.
Slownami. It's the slownami.
The slownami. So meanwhile, back in Winnipeg, we're dealing with the melt of our own snow.
Yeah.
And we probably had very similar conditions to
North Dakota. Yeah.
We knew the water was coming and our floodway was only equipped to handle 60,000 cubic feet per second.
And this turned out to be
63,000 cubic feet per second.
Oh, no.
So it was just a little over. Just a hinch over.
But you know, you need only go a little over to be over.
So in the last hours of April 30th, so like overnight April 30th, to keep the river in Winnipeg from going above 24 and a half feet, James, the city broke operational rules for the floodway, which caused additional flooding upriver.
Does that mean they opened the gates that don't exist?
So upriver would be south of us because we're backwards.
So lesson to Winnipeggers. If you want...
Like upriver is like downstage.
If you want, yeah. If you want to affect the change, don't say open the gates. Say lower the floor.
Lower the floor.
Lower the floor.
Lower the floor. On May 1st, so the next day.
Yeah.
And I'm not naming and shaming here, but Mayor Susan Thompson was briefed that the design limit had been reached.
Ooh.
She misinterpreted that as flooding has peaked.
Oh, and there was nothing more coming.
There was nothing more coming.
Like we were sandbagging gonna go down.
Stopped. No. National media was like, well, there's nothing left for us to do here. They left town.
Yoink.
And the waters outside the city continued to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual peak was a full 3 days later.
Oh.
So south of the city, people are seeing what Grand Forks was going through.
Yeah.
And Grand Forks was having the most epic flood ever. They're building ring dikes, they're sandbagging, they're evacuating. Hello, Morris. How many times has Morris had to evacuate?
Morris? You mean the island of Morris?
Yes. There, I have some pictures from the 1950 flood that is just roofs.
Yeah, because Morris is actually lower than the surrounding area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a 42-kilometer-long emergency dike constructed for another $10 million.
Oh,
hello, Brunkhild Z-Dyke. Or is it Z-Dyke?
It's a Z-Dyke in Canada. It's a Z-Dyke.
But doesn't Z-Dyke sound better?
Yeah.
It sounds a little foreign.
Like Z almost always sounds better.
A Z-Dyke. Okay, so the Brunkhild Z-Dyke.
Z is
arguably
better. But here we are.
The good news, all of the ring dikes held.
Yep.
Bad news, except for the one around St. Agathe.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah. It didn't, they didn't fare well.
45 minutes.
That it took to fill it up like a kiddie pool.
Is that what you got?
No, but yes.
I have St. Agathe was flooded by 2 meters of water in 45 minutes because of a compromise in the dike.
Yeah. Like literally filling a kiddie pool.
45 minutes.
With a high pressure hose. Like hooking your fire hydrant up.
Just plus
to a kiddie pool.
Just plus 2 meters.
Yeah. At the flood at the flood's peak on the Canada side, which was May 4th.
Are you excluding St. Agathe from that?
No, I'm excluding the U.S. side. All right. So across the border, on our side of the border,
yeah,
at the peak on May 4th, the Red River occupied an area of 1,840 square kilometers.
It got out of bed.
It sure did. And more than 2,560 square kilometers of land underwater, earning it the nickname the Red Sea.
The emergency.
The emergency. Thank so you. You were correct.
I was trying to see into the future.
Here's some names from the past.
Okay.
Following the flood, Jean Chrétien and Bill Clinton.
Oh my goodness.
This is like, remember what? This was in our lifetime?
Remember them?
And you were just a high school grad. Nearly. Yeah. Nearly.
Ish.
An international Red River Basin task force to improve flood forecasting was formed. And the province of Manitoba requested a report from the International Joint Commission, which is not a weed store.
You sure?
I'm sure.
It should be. The International Joint Commission? Okay, somebody.
That would be a great name for a cannabis store.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They commissioned a report.
And then you've got to sponsor us.
They commissioned a report to find ways to improve our flood protection. And as a result, our floodway was widened, as you mentioned, between 2004 and 2010.
At a cost of?
Quite a bit.
It's like $360 million or something.
Yeah.
Big money.
We'll build another Suez Canal.
Yeah.
It is estimated, I thought this was fascinating, without the floodway, the crest in the city of Winnipeg would have been 35 feet, James.
What? 35 feet. Okay, so 36 and a half was the worst.
Yeah.
On record. So yeah. This is only a foot and a half below the worst on record.
5 feet higher than 1950.
Yeah.
And 10 feet above what it ended up being.
Wow.
Could you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine?
It topped out at what in Winnipeg? What, James? 10 feet? 120? I think six and a half?
Didn't they try to keep it at 24 and a half?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I think they were aiming to hit that 24 and a half, which is still a major flood.
That's a major flood event, we learned.
Since the flood of 1997, the city has made many investments in permanent flood protection, including those primary and secondary dikes.
Do you think it's foolish
to
think we've ever solved this problem?
We're a river city, man.
Yeah, don't you think it's a little foolish? Permanent flood, you know, like,
well,
have we done it?
The structures are permanent.
Right, yeah.
The protection is questionable.
Okay.
Primary and secondary dikes, land drainage improvements, and combined sewer system upgrades.
Okay.
Okay.
Keep doing those.
Keep doing those.
There's still many, many combined sewers.
I also wanted to shout out another friend of the pod.
Okay.
Reg Alcock.
Who's that?
During the flood, Jean Chrétien called a snap federal election.
Okay.
Reg Alcock was a Manitoba MP. So he and other MPs said to Chrétien, we're going through the flood of a century. Can you please delay this federal election?
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that we can.
We can't partake in this.
We can't partake.
Yeah.
It's not fair. Jean Chrétien said, no.
N-O-N.
I have that written.
No.
No. Instead of campaigning, Reg Alcock turned his office into a relief center for volunteers.
Good for him.
And instead of campaigning, he spent his time helping out. And he won re-election.
Ah, perfect.
Good for him. It pays to be the nice guy.
Well, hopefully. Sometimes. Most times.
Can I give you a couple more fun and not fun facts about our neighbors to the south?
Please.
So East Grand Forks has a population of just under 9,000.
It's like East Selkirk.
Yeah. It's like East Transcona. Oh, wait, I live there.
Wait.
No, I live in West Transcona. East River
West
Heights.
Transcona. You're South Transcona.
So East Grand Forks, population of just under 9,000. Only 8 homes had no flood damage.
What? Who were they? Were they on a hill?
You have to
wonder. Are they now mayor?
Between East Grand Forks and Grand Forks, 50,000 people were displaced.
Oh, man.
Grand Forks' total population is 58,000.
So those 8,000 all piled into those 8 homes?
Apparently. Damage in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks was estimated at $1.5 billion U.S.
Billion with a B. And American dollars even.
In American dollars. And total damage, because I had to look up American figures for this, total damage for the Red River region was $3.5
billion. Wow.
So this is the fun fact.
That's just walking around change these days. But
chump change.
Yeah.
That's like, doesn't one of the Kardashians have that much from like, selling lip gloss?
Like they, that's what fell out of their jeans when they accidentally washed them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they don't wash their jeans. They just get new.
Oh, good point.
Okay. Here's the fun fact. Ray Kroc, KROC, which also KROC sounds like a great music radio station.
Like an acronym.
K-Roc.
K-R-O-C.
Ray Kroc is the founder of McDonald's.
What?
Yes.
How do I not know this?
There's a whole movie about it.
Okay.
It's a good movie too. Joan Kroc, Ray Kroc's widow.
She invented Crocs?
She made an anonymous donation of $15 million to be distributed directly to the residents of Grand Forks affected by the flood.
If we know this.
Here's the thing. So at the time, they said that this angel
investor?
No. Donator.
Angel donator.
An angel donator.
Just an angel straight up.
Literally an angel. Donated $15 million with the stipulation that it had to go directly to the residents of Grand Forks.
But like not
in
those,
the form of checks.
But not those 8.
No, they were fine. They were not affected.
Just the other 50,000.
Their workplaces might have been washed down the river, but whatever. The Grand Forks Herald were so determined to figure out who had donated this money.
Why couldn't they, if she wanted to be anonymous?
Right?
Leave
the
her
Grand
be.
Forks Herald. Buzz off. So they.
Gumshoes.
They figured out that a private plane had flown in. They figured out it was hers from the numbers. They figured out that a diesel or a jet fuel purchase had been made. With her credit card.
I'm not comfortable with this.
This is investigative journalism. So she was outed as the angel donator.
Well, I feel like if she wanted to be known, if she wanted it to be known, she would have said it.
Right? And she denied it at first.
Or do you think she was like sending the media her receipts?
Like she went so far as to put her plane into a hangar when she was in Grand Forks.
Yeah, she didn't want it to be known. Hey, and this all predated like...
And for real though, she didn't have to fly there to donate.
Well, I was going to say, like, you don't, if you're donating anonymously, you don't bring the big check. So what do you, can you mail a check for $15 million?
I'm sure you can.
Can you bank transfer a thing? How does one move $50 million across a country?
Asking for a friend.
Inquiring minds need to know.
We just want to move $50 million into your offshore banking account. How would one go about doing that?
How would one?
Cue the music.
Cue the slow-nami.